So, how do you like the new normal? Everyone's talking about the new normal, aren't they? We're not going to go back to what we were doing beforehand. This is the new normal. How do you like it? Some people would say that this is a great improvement upon the old normal. So I'll take this off, if I can get it off without pulling the mic off. This is the old normal, I'm afraid. Sorry about that. Everyone's talking about the new normal. Everybody's saying, well, who'd have thought that we'd stand for an hour in a queue to try and get into Tesco's? Who'd have thought that we would be kind of wearing masks inside? Who thought that we couldn't meet together for a barbecue or something like that during the summer? I'm going to have a barbecue built in my house very soon, so I hope we can have a barbecue soon. But the new normal, it seems abnormal almost, doesn't it? When I used to teach history of Christian expansion to all nations, we used to talk about the period from the end of the New Testament up to the year 313, when the emperor was converted, Constantine, and there were, during that period, there were 10 periods of persecution. And he used to talk about it from Nero in 65 AD up to Diocletian, which was the worst one, just before Constantine was converted. And there were 10 periods of persecution. I read one writer who actually said, well, really, what we should be talking about is 10 periods when we didn't have persecution. The norm was persecution. What was abnormal was when they weren't persecuted. So persecution for the early church was the norm. It was the normal. So their suffering, and this is what Peter is addressing here, this suffering that they're going through, this persecution, was normal. So he actually says in verse 12, don't be surprised when you pass through this fiery ordeal, is the way he calls it. I think that's a lovely phrase. This is normal. If you live lives as a Christian, you will suffer persecution. You will suffer, as Christ did, persecution. Now, this is a famous statue, La Pietà, and of Christ's suffering. And that is what happened to Christ. So it's going to happen to us. So living countercultural lives, living in a Christian way, in a non-Christian world, will bring persecution. And I'm sure that many of us have suffered this because we have, in our work, in our lives, in our neighbourhood, we have acted in a Christian way. And often, non-Christians don't like it. And it often shows up their either dishonesty or whatever. Now, I'm talking about living a countercultural life, not living an anti-cultural life. We can't get out of this world. We are in this world. And Peter has mentioned persecution many, many times during this book, during his letter. In 1 Peter 2:12, 20, chapter 3, chapter 4. It's all talking about this fiery ordeal that they're going to go through because they are living as Christians. Live such good lives among the pagans, although they accuse you of doing wrong, they will glorify God on the day he visits us. That's what 1 Peter 2 says. So don't be surprised, and we should not be surprised, if we go through some sort of suffering because we are living lives that are honouring to God. Honouring to God, not honouring to any human being. When we live a life that is countercultural, we will be persecuted. And we should not be surprised. It shouldn't make a go, what's going on? Why isn't God blessing me? No, this is normality. This is the new normal. Persecution for the early church was normal. We don't often go through persecution, but we have brothers and sisters all around the world, as Wilma prayed, who are suffering persecution because they are Christians. Whether they be in North Korea, India, Pakistan, Nigeria, those are all countries where Christians suffer terrible, terrible persecution. We saw it with ISIS in Syria as well. Christians who will not deny their Lord, and they have suffered for it. It should not surprise us. We should be aware that it will happen. Now, that doesn't seem very comforting to me. I don't know about you. It doesn't seem comforting to me at all. However, Peter actually says to us that we are special. It's not everything over. We are special because we suffer. He says three things in verse 13, 14, and 16 about what happens when we suffer. First of all, he says, we share in Christ's sufferings. 1 Corinthians 10 mentions it. Paul says, is not this bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Is this not this drink that we drink a participation in the blood of Christ? In some way, we share in Christ's sufferings when we suffer persecution. And this is an important thing for those who are suffering persecution. Very important. Because, it's a term that's used very regularly these days, it reimagines our suffering. It gives a new perspective on the sufferings that we are going through. It gives us a completely new mentality about what it is to suffer for Christ. We share in his sufferings, and we will, as verse 13 says, share in his glory as well. There is a special and almost mystical relationship between the persecuted Christian and Christ. We share in Christ's sufferings. And we therefore witness to his glory. I don't know if you know, but the word for witness is martyria. And it sounds very much like martyr. And we get the word martyr from that. We witness to his sufferings and to his glory through this persecution. So we share in his sufferings. Verse 14 says that if we suffer for being a Christian, we have the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God resting upon us. Wow. If we suffer, it's not that something's gone wrong. It's that something is very, very right. Persecution actually becomes a blessing. Sharing his suffering and his glory, but we also have the Spirit of God and the Spirit of glory of Christ. So it's persecution as blessing. And the Spirit and suffering often goes together in the Bible. It's rather weird. The first martyr, first witness to in Acts who dies is Stephen. And he was full of the Spirit as he spoke. So the Spirit was resting upon him. Stephen had the Spirit of God rest upon him. So he is the Spirit of witness. So the Spirit of persecution. And it is therefore a privilege to be persecuted for him. And verse 16, if we suffer for doing good, then we bear his name. We glorify God by suffering. For the first Christians, the word Christian was an insult. But then we take it now as an honor. It is an honor to bear the name of Christ. And when we realize who that Christ is, we can recognize why it is a privilege. It's like saying, you know somebody really important. You know the Queen. You know the Prime Minister. You bear their name. I bear the name of my father, Davies, son of David. It's nice. But we bear his name. It is an honor to suffer for Christ and to be persecuted. And at the end of this passage, in verse 17 to 19, we actually say, Peter says, those who suffer according to God's will. What? Our suffering can be God's will? That's ridiculous. God loves me. Surely he doesn't want me to suffer. But he knows that he wants us to do good. And he knows that this will bring persecution. We cannot live lives as Christians without expecting that persecution will come our way. So what do? We trust ourselves to God, verse 19, to his will. He will, as he did with Jesus, vindicate us. God will vindicate us. And what do? Well, we just do the same thing as we were doing before. Maybe with a different attitude towards that persecution, but it doesn't mean that we stop doing what is God's will for us. We continue to do good because that is God's will for us. We don't try and avoid suffering through persecution. Paul, when he asked people to pray for him, didn't ask to be released from prison. He didn't ask to be released from persecution or suffering. He asked for an open door and an open mouth. And that's what he got. So, don't be surprised if you suffer persecution because you're doing right. Because you are actually sharing in the sufferings and will share in the glory of Jesus Christ. We will be, we will have the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon us, and we will bear his name. This, brothers and sisters, seems maybe a difficult thing to understand, but it is God's will for us that we continue to represent him and his goodness and his justice in this world today. Let's pray. Lord God, I do thank you that you have saved us. You have saved us for our benefit, but you also have saved us that we may represent you in this world and do good and do righteousness and do justice. Lord, we don't want to be persecuted. We don't want to suffer. But Lord, when we do, help us to recognize that the privilege we have of actually bearing your name, of having your Spirit, of sharing in your sufferings and so in your glory. Help us, we pray, Lord, that as we live our lives, that we will live lives that are glorifying to you, that people will see our good deeds and will glorify you on the day you visit us. We thank you for this. We ask all these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.